Turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 21. Book of Matthew, chapter 21. We'll read verses 28 through 32. We're only going to look at one portion, but I'm going to read these verses. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. He came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. He came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus said unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" This, of course, is known as the parable of the two sons. Leading up to this, as we saw last Sunday, we preached from Matthew 21. Jesus had entered triumphantly into Jerusalem. He had gone into the temple. He had run the money changers out of the temple. He cursed the fig tree so that it withered. All of this was done to illustrate the mere appearance and form of the Pharisees' religion. In verse 23 of Matthew 21, Jesus is back in the temple, and the chief priest and the elders manifest that they have a problem with what Christ has done. That is, they have a problem with Christ overturning the tables, running the money changers out of the temple. And they began to question his authority. In verse 23, in the latter part of that verse, it says, "By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" That is, what right is it of you to come into the temple and do what you have done? Jesus responds to their questioning with a question in verse 24, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, 'I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it?'" Keep in mind, he's speaking to the Pharisees and the elders. "From heaven or of men?" That is, where did John get his authority? Did he get his authority from heaven? Or did he get his authority from men? "And they reasoned with themselves, saying, 'If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, because the people believe that John the Baptist had authority from heaven. For all hold John as a prophet.'" So this question of Christ created quite a dilemma for them. And they did not give a specific answer to the question in verse 27. "And they answered Jesus and said, 'We cannot tell.'" In other words, we do not know. "And he said unto them, 'Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things.'" And then Jesus proceeds from that point to speak this parable of the two sons. Again, it's so important. So many false teachings have risen from parables, mostly because people don't take the time to see what led to the speaking of the parable. So we see what has led to the speaking of this parable. And this parable is not an answer to their question, but it is a response to their defiant and rebellious attitude. You see, they had a problem. Their problem was they had a problem with the authority of God. And this parable is Christ's response to that problem. Now, the parable reveals many things. It reveals that God, simply because of who He is, has the right to give commands. And the parable also condemns mere lip service. We see the parable illustrates lip service. One says, I will not go, but then he repents and goes. The other says, I will go, but he never did. That, of course, the second son is a picture of the Pharisees, just mere lip service, just mere appearance. Everything was a sham. Everything was very shallow. And it's not our intention tonight to look at the parable, though there's many wonderful teachings here. But we want to consider the command that is given in verse 28. He says, son, go work today in my vineyard. Son, go work today in my vineyard. There are many wonderful lessons in that statement concerning the service of the Lord. And that's what we want to consider. The subject tonight is the Lord's call to His own. And we want to consider 6 points concerning this statement, son, go work today in my vineyard. And it is a picture, and they are things that we need to keep, that we need to be mindful of as we strive to serve the Lord. We need to be mindful of what is taught in this statement. Number one, we see the capacity in which service to the Lord is to be done. We see that in the first word of the statement, son. Son. We are bidden to work for the Lord, not as mere servants, but as His children. Big difference. Big difference between a servant and a child. And we are to do the work of the Lord, not as mere servants, though we are servants. But we're not to do the work as mere servants, we're to do the work as children, as His sons. Notice in Galatians chapter 4, if you keep a mark there in Matthew and turn to Galatians 4, verses 4 through verse 7. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. No more a servant, but a son. Makes a big difference serving the Lord from the aspect of a son rather than a mere servant. And he goes on, he says, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So, we are sons means many things. It means, first of all, that we have received life from Him. That we have received life from Him. So we do not serve Christ, we do not serve the Lord in order to gain life, but we serve the Lord from life. We have received life from Him, and we serve the Lord from that life. And again, that's why it's so difficult for the mere Pharisee to consistently serve the Lord, because they're not serving from life. They don't have that life. So it becomes very difficult for them. We do not serve the Lord that we may become His children. We serve the Lord because we are His children. In other words, we do not serve the Lord in order to be saved. We serve the Lord because we are saved. So in addressing us as a son, He reminds us of several things. He reminds us of His love, which made us a son. Again, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 3, we see that by nature we were the children of wrath, even as others. But then we see in 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. So when we serve the Lord from the aspect of His child, we are to be mindful of the fact of His love. You think of the love that chose you. You think of the love that adopted you into the family of God. And as you go forth into the work of the Lord, be mindful of His love. Be mindful of the Lord's love. Never lose sight of the Lord's love. Because we are His sons, we are under His special care. In Matthew 6, verses 25 through 32, Christ is teaching us not to worry. Not to worry about tomorrow. Not to worry about material possessions. And He comes down to verse 32 and He says, "For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." In other words, your Father will provide these things. So as we serve God, we are to be mindful of His care. Our Heavenly Father, not just God, but our Heavenly Father is aware of our needs of these things, and He will provide these things. So as you go forth to do the work of the Lord, be mindful of His fatherly care. We see also that we are His son speaks of His special guidance. We have the special guidance of the Lord, just as a father will guide his child or a parent will guide their children. So as you go forth to do the work of the Lord, be mindful and lean upon the guidance of the Father. Also that we are sons speaks of the fact, it reminds us of His special comfort. And as you go forth to do the work of the Lord, again, be mindful. Be mindful of the comfort of God. And if we're mindful of these things, it'll keep us going from other places to try to attain these things. There are, that we are sons speaks of His protection. He's going to protect us. We are sons. We're not just a mere servant. Someone may let a mere servant go out there and not bother protecting them and may not bother providing their needs, but you're not going to let your child go out there without providing their needs. You're not going to let your child go out there without protection. So we, as we go forth serving the Lord, we need to be aware of His protection. Yes, there are enemies. There are temptations. There are trials. There are all these things. But we have His protection. And we need to always be aware of that. That we are His son speaks of His teaching. He's going to teach us. It also speaks of His drawing power. He's going to draw us to Him. But most of all, that title sons, or that word sons, speaks of a position. We're to serve the Lord from a particular position. And that is, we are the children. He's the Father. But it also speaks of a relationship. It's a miserable life to serve the Lord because you think if you don't, He's going to let you have it. What a miserable existence. That's terrible. And I believe it's been preached that way for decades, many times. And that's one of the reasons, or one of many reasons, there are so many miserable people trying to serve the Lord. They're serving Him for all the wrong reasons and all the wrong motivations. Well, I've got to tithe because if I don't, He's going to take it anyway. Well, that's terrible. Yes, He might. And He has the right to do that. But that's not why you serve. You do not live in constant fear of God. So we have to be mindful that we are His children. That He loves us. Secondly, it is a work of compulsion. Again, notice, son, go work today in my vineyard. In calling us His sons, it is supposed or implied that we have feelings within us toward Him. That we have feelings within us correspondent to the work that He sends us to do. Everyone that has been saved by the grace of God ought to feel an obligation to serve the Lord. They ought to feel a constraint to serve the Lord. They ought to want to serve the Lord. There ought to be a drive there to serve the Lord. There ought to be a fixation with the Father. So the very word son implies it is a work of compulsion. I want to do this. It's not I have to do this. I want to do this because he's my father and I want to do his work. Jesus Christ, of course, as in all things, is our example. In Luke 2 and verse 49, he said, I must be about my father's business. I must. That is, there was a compulsion within him. There was a sentiment toward the Father. In John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. So this service of the Lord ought to be viewed as both an obligation, but it also ought to be viewed as an opportunity. I have an obligation to the Father, but I also have the opportunity to do a work for my Father. It needs to be viewed both ways. And sometimes, I'm afraid many times, we lose sight of the fact that this is an opportunity. This is a privilege. To do anything for God is a privilege. To say, well, why doesn't so-and-so do it? That's a wrong attitude. If that be someone's attitude, I would say, you don't do it either. We'll just wait for someone who has the proper attitude to do it. But there ought to be a privilege to do the work of the Father. So the obligation and the opportunity to such a work ought to grip our hearts. And that, of course, will fill us with joy. So we are to do this work as His children. We're to serve the Lord out of a spirit of compulsion. There's a desire to do so. But then notice, thirdly, the service to which He calls us. He says here, son, go work. Emphasize, go work. This is something practical. Go work. This is something real. Go work. He does not say, my son, go and plan. That's not what he says. He doesn't say that anywhere in the scriptures. He says, go work. He did not say, go and think and speculate. That's not what he said. He said, go work. He did not say, go and evaluate everybody else's performance. That's not what he said. He said, go work. Now, the very word go implies that something must be left. A place must be left. Things must be left. And this work that God calls us to, it is a going. We have to leave some things. And today, of course, many don't have time to serve God. Really, what it comes down to is they're not willing to leave some things. Go work. Now, work is something that involves effort. It's something that involves toil. You think of work, there's a degree of earnestness, a degree of self-denial. But I'll tell you something else. Work requires what? It requires time. Work always requires time. Go work. So it's going to require our time. It's going to require abilities that God has given us. So we see it is a work. Fourthly, the work is the Lord's work. This is so important. My son, go work. And we're going to skip the word today for now. My son, go work in my vineyard. He does not say, my son, go work in the vineyard. That's not what he said. Don't you think in this parable that the son, if the father would have said, son, go work in the vineyard, he would have known what vineyard he was talking about. But that's not the way he addressed it. He said, son, go work in my vineyard. He He didn't even say, son, go work in our vineyard. He said, son, go work in my vineyard. If it's his vineyard, it's his work. If it's his vineyard, he has the right to assign his children wherever he wants them. He has that right. It's his vineyard. Jesus, again, is our example. Luke 2, verse 49. I must be about my Father's business. My Father's business. John 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me. It is not merely I must work. I must do something. I had a preacher not too long ago at a Bible conference says, do something for crying out loud, even if it's the wrong thing. That's pitiful. That's pitiful. But Jesus doesn't tell us, the point he was making is we need to be busy, even if it doesn't amount to anything. Well, that's foolish. Jesus didn't say I must work. He didn't say I must do something. He said I must be about my Father's business. And I must work the works of him that sent me. As we strive to serve the Lord, we must always remember, never, ever, ever forget, it is the Lord's work. It is never our work. It is never my work. It's never your work. It is always the Lord's work. That changes everything. That ought to change our perspective. It is the Lord's work. It is the Father's vineyard, and therefore everything we do in that vineyard is for Him. Everything. Everything we do in that vineyard is for Him. If I trim a vine over here, that's His vine. It's not my vine. It's His vine. No matter what we do in that vineyard. If I dig a trench over here, that's His ground. It's not my ground. It's His dirt. Not mine. It's always His work. So everything we do in His vineyard is done for Him. If I gather stones, it is my Father's vineyard that I'm clearing. It's His vineyard that we are clearing. If I repair a fence, it is my Father's soil that I'm keeping, that I'm guarding with that fence. So it's all for Him. It's all for Him. We must always remember that. Because our human nature tends to think after a while, it's my work. No, never is. And it never will be. It's His. It's His. We must always remember that. As the son went into the vineyard, he didn't have liberty to do as he pleased. He had to do the work that the Father told him to do. He was to do what the Father had for him to do that day. And you know what? What the Father had for him to do that day may have not been the same as the next day or the day before. Well, I did this yesterday. Doesn't matter. What does the Father say to do today? Well, this is what I'm used to. It doesn't matter. We're not at liberty. We're not at liberty to pick and choose what we will do. We're to listen for His instruction. Remember, it is His vineyard. It's His work. Since it is His work, the work is to be done in devotion to Him. It is to have the preeminence. Why, if it's the Father's work, that's got to have preeminence over any other work. Only one, two possibilities. If we put something ahead of the Lord's work, then we either have to believe that what we're putting ahead is more important, or the Father's work really doesn't matter. I mean, which is it? You take your choice, either one, it's pretty bad. There's nothing good that comes out of that. The Father, if it's the Father's work, it must have preeminence. And we need to keep that in mind. It's the Father's work. Therefore, that has preeminence. It even has preeminence at times over a funeral of a parent. Said, let the dead bury their dead. What he's saying is, you do God's work first. That must come first. It is to be done with great humility. If it's the Father's work, if it's His vineyard, we're unworthy to do anything. And therefore, we ought to be greatly humbled that He would tell us to do anything. In Matthew 3 and verse 11, John the Baptist, we see Jesus speaking. He says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, or this is John the Baptist speaking, I'm sorry, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I'm not worthy to bear his shoes, he says. The lowest office of a servant. And John the Baptist was not worthy to carry his shoes or to unloose the latchet of his shoes. And we're never worthy. Never. Never are we worthy to do the work of the Lord. If it can be done for God, we are unworthy to do it. Plain and simple. So the fact that it's the Father's work, it needs to be done with great humility. It is to be done constantly. It's to be done with great determination. It's His work. It's His work. Fifthly, notice the atmosphere of the work. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Vineyard. The world that we serve the Lord in is a desert. It's a wilderness. It's a very barren place. It is a place where the enemy resides. It is a place of warfare. It is a place of difficulty and affliction. That's the world we live in. But service to God is in a vineyard. Yeah, it may be the desert, but it becomes His vineyard. Makes a big difference how you view the Lord's work. The Lord's work should never be viewed as a desert. The Lord's work ought to always be viewed as a vineyard. Service to God is a vineyard. There's a big difference between a desert and a vineyard. Big difference between working in a desert and working in a vineyard. Looking at many today, it's very obvious they spend all day working in the desert. But in a desert, there's thankless and futile toil. But a vineyard is a pleasant place. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Wherever that place is, wherever it is that God sends us, it's a vineyard. It's a vineyard. And it ought to be a place of pleasure. It ought to be a place of pleasantness. It is a place where there is great variety of clusters. In other words, a vineyard is a place of plenty. A desert is a barren place. We need to view the Lord's work as a vineyard. It's a place of plenty. Well, if we do what the Bible says, we'd starve to death. No, you won't. Because it's a vineyard. It's a vineyard. Many choose to work in the desert rather than the vineyard. Seems to me to be a very foolish choice. A vineyard. It is a place of plenty. A desert is a very mundane place. Become very boring but a vineyard. What an interesting place. A vineyard. The Lord's work should never become mundane. It should be very interesting. It ought to intrigue us. It's a vineyard. So again, it says, my son, go work in my vineyard. The places where we live is the Lord's vineyard. You can say, I live in a hole in the ground. It's the Lord's vineyard. If God placed you there, it's His vineyard. And we need to view it as His vineyard. So the places where we live, our houses, our families, are the Lord's vineyard. Son, go work today in my vineyard. The workplace is the Lord's vineyard that He's placed you in. The school, again, is the Lord's vineyard that He has placed you in. The store that you go and shop in, when you enter those doors, that's the Lord's vineyard. It's the Lord's vineyard. You're to serve Him. You see, we're to always be mindful that the service of God is a vineyard. It's not a desert. It's a vineyard. And no one loses in God's vineyard. You don't come out on the short end in God's vineyard. Doing His work. You don't lose. You lose by neglecting the vineyard and going out and working in the desert. That's where you lose. But you don't lose anything worth keeping working in the Lord's vineyard. So we need to view it as His vineyard. Lastly, notice there is a limitation of time to work. My son, go work today in my vineyard. Why didn't he say tomorrow? Because we don't have tomorrow. We have today. My son, go work today in my vineyard. There is a great work to do, but there's little time to do it. A day is just a short span of time. Again, in John 9, verse 4, Jesus Christ says, I must work the works of Him that sent me. And we've referred to that several times. But then He goes on to say, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. So there is a time frame for you and I to work in the Lord's vineyard. No one knows how long a day it will be for us. No one knows that. Today may be your very last day working in the Lord's vineyard. You may die. You may have a massive stroke and lay in a bed and not be able to speak for the rest of your life, not be able to do anything. You have no idea how long our day is to work in the vineyard. But we very rarely think about that. We assume we're going to have tomorrow, and we're going to have another tomorrow, and another, and another, and another. But the night cometh when no man can work. And that is true with all of us. The night cometh. You can't put it off. You can't put it off. You can't even delay it. You can't postpone it. The night is coming. The night is coming for the pastor. The night is coming. His ministry is limited to a today. The night is coming. The night is coming for all of those who sit in the pews. The night is coming when no man can work. The night is coming for fathers and mothers and sons and daughters and for husbands and wives. The night is coming when no man can work. Now, many of us today, and this may be true of all of us, but some of us here tonight, because of age and you do the math, you know that you've already lived most of your todays. I mean, you know that. There's no way of getting around it. You know, if you're over 45 years old, chances are you have lived most of your days. If you're 60, you have lived most of your days. You're not going to live to 120. If you're 70 or you're 80, let me tell you something. You've lived most of your days. We need to be aware of that. You can be 8 years old and have lived most of your days also. None of us know. But some of us do know that we have already lived most of our days. And knowing that we only have a few more todays left, why would I want to spend in the desert? Seems to me that I would want to spend it in the Lord's vineyard, doing the Lord's work. Oh, how many ruin their testimonies in the last days of their life. Ruin it. God help us. Do not worry about duty tomorrow and miss the obligation and opportunity of today. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Paul in Philippians 3 and verse 19 speaks of those who mind earthly things. And the minding of earthly things will keep many a soul out of the Lord's vineyard. He minded earthly things. How sad. When we come to the end of our life, and it has to be said that we spent the majority of our days minding earthly things. How sad. But what a wonderful testimony to come to the end of our days and say, you know, I've had a good life. I've spent the majority of my life in the Lord's vineyard doing His work. It just doesn't get better than that. So that word today is a very important word. Don't spend the limited time you have caught up in the things of the desert. Don't do that. That's a terribly sad way to live. Now we fully understand why an unsafe person spends all their days in the desert. That's all they know. But for a child of God to choose the desert over the vineyard is utter foolishness. It's foolishness. And think of the sin that is involved anytime we choose the desert over the vineyard. Son, go work today in my vineyard. We need a proper perspective on service to the Lord. And I believe that one statement that Jesus made there in that parable, Son, go work today in my vineyard. If we can keep those things in mind, it'll give us a proper perspective toward the Lord's service. Are we going to have some bad days? Yes. We're going to have some days when we feel down? Yes. But you know what? You look up and look at the vineyard. Thank you, Lord, for letting me work in your vineyard today. Brother Tim, if you'd come.